My goodness, it has been a while since I've talked to you guys. Thanks for hanging in there. I'm going to have two episodes coming out today. This one's going to be much more college football centric. The other one is going to be less college football centric. So, let's talk about my favorite sport right out the gate. College football. A lot's happened since I talked to you last time. It was a few months ago. I also did a special little video on the show, or the board game Whoa Nilly. Did a little special on that, so if you play that game, I'd highly recommend you check it out. But we are now in the college football playoff. And I thought it was time I injected my voice into this. Sometimes I don't have anything to say, so I don't make an episode. And for the last month, I've been waiting to make an episode, but I just haven't had anything to say on the subject. Which might be selfish of me, keeping my thoughts to myself. But we are where we are. I found some time today, and I do have a few things to say. There is a very big question in college football right now, and it is the Cincinnati equation. The Cincinnati equation basically boils down to whether or not you feel that their schedule and resume earns them a right into the college football playoff. The Cincinnati equation is an interesting one because I would, by all accounts, say that Notre Dame should be in the playoff over Cincinnati. But, and listen to what I just said, but Cincinnati beat Notre Dame head-to-head, so I can't do that justification. If Cincinnati would have lost to Houston, I would have said Notre Dame should be in the playoff over them. That's just how I feel personally. And there is a little bit of bias because my father's a big Notre Dame fan. And also, I think the Notre Dame product has just gotten better all season. After they lost to Cincinnati, they really got in check and really locked down the rest of their schedule. The other team that I don't know if I would have put ahead of, if Cincinnati would have lost, I wouldn't have put them in the playoff. I would have honestly put Baylor in the playoff before I would have put Notre Dame, and before I would have probably put Ohio State. Because Baylor proved at the highest level what they could do. And I think Baylor right now, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think they are a top four team in the country today because of how tough they play. With a backup quarterback, they made Oklahoma State look silly. And we're going to go over these scores, but first let's talk about the rankings. I just wanted to mention the Cincinnati question because this is what everyone wants to know. What do I think of Cincinnati? They deserve to be in. Absolutely deserve to be in. And what's going to happen to Cincinnati? I don't think you're going to like the answer. And I think a lot of people who don't watch this sport are going to get some very harsh facts about it. This sport is not kind if you are not at the top. And Cincinnati, I hate to say it, you're not a top four team in the country. You deserve to be in, and you deserve to be recognized as one, but you're not a top four team, and you're going to find out pretty quickly what the difference of talent is at that level. A Georgia and an Alabama that want to win, and even a Michigan that wants to win, is a lot better than anything you've seen. Notre Dame is not overrated. That win is earned. Desmond Ritter played out of his mind, so I don't want this to seem like Cincinnati hate. But to the college football fans, I think a lot of them are pretty on the ball with this. Understand that Cincinnati is not a top-tier team, but they deserve to get in because it's a good story. The casual fan, though, and the NHL, the NBA, the NFL fan, which I respect, I love all those sports, the fans who just kind of see college football from afar are making a complete mockery of this, actually acting as if Cincinnati has proved some sort of justice and that the committee somehow is flawed and evil and Cincinnati's this force of good that's overcome it. No, Cincinnati's not a top four team, but they do deserve to be in. Their schedule is in the hundreds for strength. They beat teams by not much that Georgia, Alabama, Michigan would not have barely beat. In fact, I don't know, you put Cincinnati in the ACC? Let's see them have a winning record. I don't think Cincinnati beats Clemson today. I really mean that. I don't think a Cincinnati team, especially with how hard Clemson was playing at the end of the season, I don't think they beat Clemson. I think Clemson probably beat Cincinnati. They're not beating that defense. So let's not act as if Cincinnati is clearly a top four team. They should be ranked 3 or even 2. And that the committee's evil. And that they're keeping certain teams out. And that there's always been a roadblock. We've gotten what we wanted. But let's not start acting all high and mighty here about Cincinnati. That's just my little rant. Because I'm seeing everybody just going crazy about this. Saying that the committee for once got it right. The committee's gotten it right every year. The only time I think they've gotten it wrong, but it ended up blowing up in my face, was that I thought Baylor deserved to be in over Ohio State that first year. But then Ohio State won the damn thing. So what the hell do I know? Whew. Okay, a little angry Cincinnati rant out of the way now. Oh, goodness. I have a Weathers original in my pocket. Might need it at some point. Because my goodness. Ugh, I'm going to need it. Okay. So number one, let's go through this. Alabama's ranked number one. Now, I'm seeing some people say Michigan should be number one. Respectfully disagree. I think the Michigan State loss is a lot worse than... Well, I don't know about that. For looking at strength of schedule, I think the SEC beats you a lot down more than the Big Ten does. Which Michigan can't control. But... And let's not say we're going to use the eye test here, but I think Alabama's the superior team. They beat the better team, and is Texas A&M, yes, I'm going to take a few steps back here, is in fact a worse loss than Michigan State. Michigan State isn't a terrible loss. Michigan State's a really good team. I think they did get exposed by Ohio State for their flaws, which in hindsight, Michigan really should have won that game. But granted... Let's take it easier. Texas A&M isn't exactly an offensive powerhouse led by Calzada. That's not exactly, you know, an air raid crazy operation over there. So let's not go crazy about that, I guess. But Alabama had the tougher road, 2-12-1 resumes. I think Bama's better than Michigan. Not by too much. Michigan's a really good team. Them in Georgia, and a lot of people are mentioning this, they play an older style of football you don't see as much nowadays. They play a very let's run the ball as much as we can, throw when we have to, play good defense. They play what Alabama was in the 2000s, in the early 2010s. They basically play like those Alabama teams. Let's just run the ball, have some fun, let's play really good defense, throw if we have to, but if we don't have to throw, who cares? We'll pull an Air Force and just run the ball 38, 45 times if we have to, maybe throw once, whatever. They're not obviously going to do that. I'm saying if they would if they could. I'm sure Georgia, the less time Stetson Bennett has to have the ball come out of his hand, the better they feel. So Michigan number two, I agree with in a sense, but, and I think you have to put them there. Georgia, I think, is a better team than Michigan, though, and I think they're really going to show it when they face them, but, like, I don't know what Georgia's going to be favored by. I'm going to guess maybe, I don't know if official odds are out yet, so this is a complete guess. I'm going to say Georgia's somewhere a favorite of 3 to 6 points. Somewhere in there. So, and putting what team 2 and 3 should not matter that much. So, Georgia at number 3. I personally, if I was the overlord of college football, if I was the king of college football, I'd put Georgia at number 2. But putting Michigan at number 2, it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter at all. So who cares? 2 and 3, interchangeable. The committee got this right. I'm not going to say they got it wrong. Just because I personally would put Georgia 2, Michigan 3. Michigan 2 is right. Georgia 3 is right. It doesn't matter. Cincinnati at number 4. Okay, good story. It's a great story Cincinnati's in. We already talked about that equation. I already ranted about it. We already talked about it. Everything's good. Everyone who says the committee gets it all wrong, the committee got right this year, guys. Ah, goodness. So, okay, let's not get too worked up about that again. But Cincinnati, number 4, is going to be going against Alabama. Cincinnati is not a top 4 team in this country, as I said earlier. They are not playing at a top 4 level. They have not really... They haven't been in the realm of a top even... They're not playing at the level of, in my opinion, a top 10 team right now. I wouldn't say they're a top 10 team in terms of how they're playing. resume-wise in the hundreds. Why you must give them number four is because they did what they had to do. They won all 13 games. And to their credit, it's really tough to find another team to inject higher than them. So let's look at number five, Notre Dame. Cincinnati has the head-to-head. How can you possibly put Notre Dame in over Cincinnati? Notre Dame's a better team today than Cincinnati. I mean, they lose Brian Kelly, which we'll get into coaching news after, and I'll talk about that, but I think you can't put Notre Dame in over Cincinnati just due to the head-to-head result. Understand. Ohio State, then, is at number six. You can't put Ohio State ahead of Cincinnati. I agree with that. Those two losses, that loss to Oregon in the year ends up looking worse and worse and worse. And that loss to Michigan is what it is. Tough rivalry game. Costed you a shot at the Big Ten Championship. So, you don't deserve to be in. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Number seven's Baylor. Baylor is the fourth best team in the country today. But I can't justify it to put them in over Cincinnati. Baylor should actually be number five. Baylor beat a really, you know, exposed but good Oklahoma State team that I think Sanders, their quarterback, kind of got exposed as a fraud. And he's a good player, but he's not a playoff caliber starting player. Ole Miss is a heck of a team. Ole Miss might have the best quarterback of all these teams in Corral. Also, they have a kid playing from Guelph, Ontario, so shout out to Ole Miss. You know, you got someone from my hometown. I'm obviously going to cheer for you. Ole Miss is a juggernaut. This is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that. Actually, I think I am saying this. I think they're better right now than Cincinnati. I think they probably beat Cincinnati head-to-head right now. But do you think Alabama wants to face Ole Miss again? I mean, I know they handled them pretty good the first time, but I don't think Bama wants any piece of Ole Miss again because Lane Kiffin is a madman. Do you think Michigan wants any piece of Ole Miss? Absolutely not. Do you think Georgia wants Ole Miss? God, no, they don't. Georgia doesn't want Ole Miss. Nobody wants Ole Miss. Cincinnati sure as hell doesn't want Ole Miss. What would Cincinnati be favored over Ole Miss? Maybe a point or two? Ole Miss, though, neutral field, probably favored that game. I know. It sounds crazy. I think this Alabama versus Cincinnati game is really going to expose them, and that the equation is going to really show that they're not a top four team in the country, which I think the playoffs job is supposed to be. But you couldn't put anyone over them, so good on them. They won and did what they had to do. I know, I sound crazy right now, but it's almost like so many other teams just had to lose one less game they'd be in over Cincinnati. It's hilarious. Cincinnati just finds them way in. Now, who am I cheering for in these games? I'm obviously cheering for Cincinnati. I'd love for them to have a good showing. I'd love them to prove me wrong and show that they are a top four team. I think Alabama, they're going to do something to them that you're not going to want to see. And Nick Saban, he doesn't care. Nick Saban just beat Georgia. He's probably looking at Cincinnati right now saying, this defensive line, not a single one of them could start on my team. This offensive line, not a single one of those guys are probably a backup on my team. That defensive secondary, maybe one of those guys could start on my team, but I'm not scared of any of them. He probably looks at Desmond Ridder and says, that guy has talent, but where are his massive weapons? Ford is a heck of a back. He played at Alabama, but without a good O-line, without good blocking, what's Ford going to do to you? Like, if I'm giving you a prediction, which I don't know if I want to do that yet, but if I'm giving you a prediction, I think Alabama probably wins this one in the realm of 50 to 55 points to probably 14. I mean that. Cincinnati might get 14 points. Do I know that for a fact? No. But am I pretty confident in that? Absolutely. And everyone who hates the SEC is going to get angry because it's going to be Georgia and Alabama again in the SEC championship. As much as I'm cheering for Michigan, I am definitely rooting for Michigan and I'm going to be cheering for them, pulling for them because I don't want to see the rematch. But Georgia is probably going to win that game. And prediction, Georgia wins that one probably in the realm of 31 to 24. This thing is a 7-point game. Michigan's going to play them tough. But Georgia, now that they got that Bama taste, I think that actually is going to improve their team to play even harder. Yeah, and I mean, Oklahoma State's number 9, Michigan State's number 10. I think Cincinnati probably beats Oklahoma State and probably beats Michigan State. I still don't think they beat Clemson right now in that tough defense, though, as bad as that sounds. Now, and I know South Carolina got the crap kicked out of them by Clemson, so maybe that look of that game is still on my mind, but man, that Clemson team there, that's not a bad team. They should be a lot higher than 19. I mean, like, I know you have to give a 10-2 Iowa the ranking ahead of Clemson. I think Clemson's better than Iowa. Iowa looked like complete crap in that championship game, which, let's talk about those games now. Then we'll talk about coaches, okay? Right about the 16-minute mark. Let's talk games here. What I was happy about, what I wasn't happy about. Conference USA Championship. We had Western Kentucky at UTSA. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Western Kentucky was favored by about 3 in this game. It was either 2.5 or 3. I think what the odds makers were looking at was, I'm sure they were looking fine. I'm sure everyone was dressed appropriately. I think what the odds makers were looking at was Western Kentucky was surging. UTSA was definitely on the drop, especially getting killed by a North Texas team that, granted, was playing for a bowl game, but was a team you probably shouldn't have lost to. I think, though, what the odds makers, they knew what they were doing here, but what I don't think they realized was that UTSA's run game had been good all year. UTSA wasn't afraid to run the ball as much as they wanted to, so that Western Kentucky defense never showed you anything all season that said they could stop UTSA again. Like, Western Kentucky got cooked defensively by UTSA and barely lost that game, but I definitely see the momentum that Vegas was looking at. But UTSA, hard-fought game. Let me make sure I get his name right. McCormick. He's the running back for UTSA. Let's give him a little shout-out here. We're at the roster. Let's just make sure. Yeah, McCormick. Heck of a performance. Him and Harris are such a good combo. I mean, 49-41 UTSA. Heck of a win for UTSA. Go Roadrunners. Mr. Hurricane, NCAA 13, used that as his dynasty team. Been following him ever since. Wouldn't say I'm a fan, more of a sympathizer. If you are a Utah fan today, you are probably sitting there with a lot of confusion. You have a hell of a team. A Pac-12 championship team. A great season. A season that could have been so much more. You murder Oregon twice. You win this game against Oregon. Number 10 Oregon, might I add. You win the Pac-12 championship 38-10. You curb stomp them a second time. Heck, you played again a third game. You curb stomp them a third time. You played them a fourth. You curb stomp them a fourth time. You can play them as much as you want. We could run this simulation 50 times. You probably curb stomp them 40 times. You're the clearly better team. How did you start so bad is my question. I know sometimes it takes teams a few games to get rolling, but there's so much, I just see potential dripping off of this Utah team. They could have been so much more. So deep down, I think I would have rather Oregon won this game just to make it, I don't know, a little more interesting at the top, but see where they'd rank them, how they'd view that, if avenging a loss would really give you that much sympathy from the committee. But Utah deserved to win this game, and good on Utah. The MAC championship game, my favorite game from this weekend. Although I am a Gamecock fan, many of you might not know this, I am a Northern Illinois Husky fan as my second favorite team in football. I've always cheered for them ever since they were good. A bandwagon fan. 2012, Jordan Lynch. So, understand there's a lot of bias when talking about this game. I had no clue why Kent State was favored the way they were favored. Like, let's look at the spread, what it was before. Kent State was favored by 4, which they did beat Northern Illinois the first time. But you just felt in the air, in my opinion, you just felt that momentum, although not necessarily a Northern Illinois side, you felt that if Northern Illinois had another crack at them, they'd probably make it out on top. Hindsight's now 20-20, but there are not a lot of scenarios where I see Kent State winning this game. Their offense is a juggernaut, but their offense was prone to making mistakes. Crum, the Kent State quarterback, is definitely a good player. But Crum, as we saw in that MAC championship game, is not a guy you can always depend on to run the offense you want to run. He is not a Lamar Jackson option quarterback that can just break chunk play after chunk play with his legs, which in that Kent State offense, I think is pretty essential when you're playing that quickly. He did not have the speed. And I'm not saying he has to be Lamar Jackson. I'm just making a bit of a joke here because Lamar is one of the fastest players. But Crum just doesn't have the skill set that might be required. Like, Crum is he's a much better quarterback in the pocket making strong throws. He's not like a lightning quick quarterback you want. He doesn't do stuff as quickly as I think you need him to. So heck, if you had like per se a more Johnny Manziel style player or Lamar Jackson style of player, which plays a lot quicker, throws a lot quicker, runs a lot faster, I think you'd have a lot more luck with an offense like that. Heck, if you insert 2012 Jordan Lynch into this Kent State team, for example, I'm saying that's probably the right guy you want running this team. Crum, fantastic player. Just, I don't know if he's the guy you want leading that offense. The coach knows more than me, let me say that. But just watching that offense, and I've seen them a few other games this year, like when they beat Miami, Ohio, I don't think he's the right guy to lead a lightning quick offense like that. Northern Illinois wins 41-23. I mean, where do I start? Ducker just torched the defense at times. He plays for Northern Illinois. Rocky Lombardi. Now, if you were to look at the statistics on this game, you would not understand what Rocky Lombardi did, but Rocky Lombardi is the general quarterback. Rocky Lombardi makes sure the trains keep running on time. He was only 7 for 15 with 102 yards, and he even threw a pick. He threw a stupid interception when we could have got more points. Stupid. But he is the man who we give him the ball and we say we trust you. As a Northern Illinois fan, I get to say we trust you to do what you want to do with that football. And we hope you make the right move. Ontario Brown. It sounds like Ontario, but it's with an A. So I don't know if it's Ontario Brown or Ontario Brown. Either way, let's just call him Ontario Brown, because that's how it sounds like on TV. I don't know where this guy came from. He's only played in a handful of games this year, like 7 or 8. But this guy's explosive. He's a freshman too. They even had Rakovich, their fullback, running back, hybrid combo, and nobody wants to tackle this guy. I mean, when this guy gets the ball and he just hits you, you don't want to hit him late in games. And Kent State didn't want to hit him at times, especially when he just walked in the end zone. They have quite the running back tandem. And, you know, okay, this is embarrassing here. I'm not a Coastal Carolina fan, but I'm a Coastal Carolina sympathizer. I hate that Northern Illinois has to play Coastal Carolina. But I think probably Northern Illinois wins this game by a touchdown. I don't think Coastal Carolina has the defense to stop them. My opinion, though. This game actually gave me a headache. Iowa fans, let's talk for a sec. I cheered so hard for your team. You have no clue the amount of support I gave the Hawkeyes. I was sitting there just pouring my heart out for you. I cheered every time you threw the ball. But you guys did nothing. It was pathetic. It's a Big Ten championship game. You can't be out there looking like, I don't know, I wouldn't say Kent State. You can't look like the Akron Zips when you're out there. You want to know what? Akron might have a better offense than Iowa, maybe. I think it might be possible with how pathetic of a showing that was against Michigan. Petrus is not a Big Ten championship level quarterback to play in this game. And deep down, as much as I at times enjoy Iowa, how fun their defense can be, how random their games are, I would have rather Wisconsin been in this game, because at least it could have been entertaining. This was a boring game to watch, a terrible game to cheer for Iowa for, and 42-3 is a pathetic game. Congratulations, Michigan. Big 12 championship. 21-16, Baylor beats Oklahoma State, and let's look at what the spread was. Oklahoma State was favored by 7, which, hindsight being 20-20, might have been a ploy to get more people to bite in on playoff implications, that Oklahoma State had more to play for. Maybe they're more motivated. Dave Aranda, that guy is a hell of a coach. And I think he showed you. You don't want to face him twice in a year because he'll figure you out. Dave Aranda's the type of guy where after you face him once, you just say, I hope you lose every other game because I don't want to see you again. He's a good coach in this Baylor team next year if he stays put. Probably your favorite to win the Big 12. Oklahoma, they're a bit of a sinking ship. Oklahoma State, they can only get so high, it apparently seems. They can't get to the top of the top. And Sanders, as noble of an effort as he gave all season, is not a playoff caliber quarterback. Maybe you say to me, Stats and Bennett's not either, but Oklahoma State doesn't have Georgia's defense, if I hear that argument. Baylor even had their backup quarterback in. Anyone, the Shapen. Bohannon is a beast, and if he's in this game, it's probably more out of hand. I think Bohannon probably gets 250 yards passing. I don't know. Probably gets another 50 on the ground. Bohannon's a better player. And Baylor, why'd you have to lose to TCU? I know TCU threw everything they possibly could at you, but you could have been in the playoff. You deserve to be in the playoff if you would have just played a little better. I have you as the fifth best team. I'd rank you number 5 if it were up to me. Notre Dame would be number 6. Forget about them. Why'd you have to do that? Congrats, Baylor, Big 12 champions. Oklahoma State, let's talk about you for a sec. What were you doing? You win this game. I think the committee might actually put you in over Cincinnati. Yes, I think the committee might find in their hearts to put you in over Cincinnati, and you would deserve to be in over Cincinnati. Utah State at San Diego State. Know nothing about this game, know nothing about these teams. Utah State has no right being 10-3. They are not a 10-3. Like, how are they 10-3? But I'm not in charge of the conference. Good for you, Utah State. Appalachian State at Louisiana is the Raging Cajuns, Lafayette. Interesting game, interesting concept. Everyone was on the App State bandwagon. A lot of people in the betting world were very pro-App State. A lot of fans were very pro-Louisiana. And I think the fans had a better grasp on this probably than the gambling world, because the eye test says that the Raging Cajuns are better, but it's a lot like the Western Kentucky-UTSA game. The momentum seemed to be with App State, who had everything going for them. The only thing that didn't go for them was the result in this game. I think Louisiana, they pretty much, I know that score, it's actually a lot closer than it was. Then we got Georgia-Alabama. This is the big one. If I were to tell you Stats and Bennett's line, I think you know what the result was of this game. 340 yards. Now, if you're a casual fan or you're not a college football fan, and I tell you that number, you're probably thinking, 340 yards, that's pretty good. I'll tell you why it's not good. Because Georgia's not a primarily passing team, and if they have to pass that much, that means something's gone terribly wrong. He threw the ball 48 times. Now, if my quarterback is Wyoming Josh Allen, throw it 48 times all you want, pal. If my quarterback is 2010 Cam Newton, throw it all you want, pal. If I have Roger Staubach on 1964 Navy or 67 Navy, throw the ball all you want, pal. If I have, we're just trying to be funny at this point, AJ McCarron. Nah, that's a terrible example, actually. I'd never want that guy thrown more than 20 times. Let's stop there. Why is Stats, if Stats and Bennett, you know he threw it 48 times, you know the result of this game. But let's keep working our way down. Maybe let's pretend that Alabama shut down the run, so you had to throw and the defense played perfect. This is where you know things have gone very bad. Three touchdowns, good. Two picks. And three sacks is where I think you understand this game went. A sack doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose, but I think those three sacks kind of show the pressure Georgia's defense had on them, and the two picks show, especially with one, you didn't know at the time it was a pick six, but now you do know. Pretend you didn't know. Those two picks, probably Alabama points. Bama, and wait, let's look at Georgia's rushing for a sec. Cook, 38 yards. McIntosh, what'd he get? 32 yards. Then you look at the receiver, Bowers, and my God, that guy's a beast. That tight end is an absolute beast, and he's going to be playing on Sundays. Beside the point. Alabama was just the better team. They were just the better team. Not on paper, but when you watched this game, you saw who the better team was. Nick Saban is a genius. I didn't doubt him. I can't prove this. I told people Bama was winning this game. I can't prove it. Hindsight's always 20-20 after the game, but before this game, I said Alabama was going to win it. We can call some people up if we want to. Alabama didn't have to run the ball, and this should make things even better. Bryce Young threw it 44 times. If Bryce Young's thrown it 44 times, that's okay. Stats and Bennett thrown it 49? Very bad. Because one's a Heisman contender, and one's probably not good enough to make it to the CFL. I think we can know which one's which. Stats and Bennett, great human being, great person. Not even an NFL quarterback, nowhere close to that. So let's just close that narrative for a second before people start spewing that. Bryce Young, heck, even had some rushes on the ground, got a touchdown. Bryce Young's your Heisman champion. Congratulations, Bryce Young. You're a beast. And if you could get drafted this year, you'd be the first overall selection. Alabama's just ridiculous. The fact they won this game the way they did is ridiculous. No one saw this coming. Not even me. I thought this was a close one. If you knew Bama was going to blow out Georgia, you deserve some kind of medal. We should just make you a medal that says you're a genius and smarter than everyone. The smarter than everyone medal. That's what we're going to dub this show. You're smarter than everyone if you knew this. Cincinnati beats Houston. What's there to talk about? Cincinnati was clearly the better team. They're the best AAC team, American Athletic Conference team. They're the best. Now you get to go and, you know what, you're like a very big turtle in your really small kind of aquarium or whatever you want to call it, and you beat all the other turtles in races to get the food. But we just threw you in the big tank there, Cincinnati. You're with a lot of faster, bigger turtles now. You know, these SEC turtles, they're pretty big, and they're pretty fast when it comes to racing to get the food. Let's see how you swim. I like that analogy. Pitt is one of the best stories of this season. Wake Forest is one of the best stories of this season. In my eyes, they're both ACC champions. Because both have made absolutely terrific strides. Pitt winning the ACC, who saw that coming? Who on earth saw that one coming? I know I didn't. Anyone tells you they saw that coming is a liar. Or you get the smarter than everyone else medal. Wake Forest, what a passing attack. You're looking at air raid excellence, a future tough team. Only problem for Wake Forest is they ran into a guy named Kenny Pickett who's going to be a top 30 pick in the NFL. Probably the second best quarterback in college football, maybe third best, other than maybe Matt Corral. And I'm telling you, if Bryce Young could get drafted this year, that guy would be making a lot of bank. But he just can't get drafted this year, which is a shame. Because next year he's going to terrorize every other team again and destroy them all. It's just not fair. We're living in Bryce Young's world. We're just all spectators. He's the anime protagonist. Yeah, nothing else to really say. Kenny Pickett, you're a beast. Then we have Cal USC. Everyone knows Cal won. USC didn't want to play this game. USC only getting better. So that's all the games for today. But we're not done just yet because we have some coaching kind of moves. I'm going to tell you my opinion on them, and there might actually be some breaking news right now as we cross the 35-minute mark. A bit of a longer episode. You had Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to go to USC. Oh, goodness, I just had to go drink some apple juice. I've been going for too long. I'm not used to the strenuous voice work. Oh. Okay. We're good to go. Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma to go to USC in what is a shocking move, to say the least. If you are, I guess, looking at this from afar, you probably wonder why this is happening. Oklahoma is a juggernaut. They always have a chance to win, but the big demon that's looming is them going to the SEC, where you're not the big dog anymore. Let's go back to the turtle analogy. You're now a slightly smaller turtle racing to get some food. Maybe that makes Texas a minnow. But you are now racing to the top to get food against a lot of turtles that are faster than you. Bigger than you, stronger than you. It's kind of like a metaphor for life. Turtle racing. Either way, though, Lincoln Riley, I think he kind of saw the chalk on the wall that Oklahoma wasn't going to have the resources, wasn't going to have the infrastructure, probably didn't have the recruiting prowess. Maybe he saw it go against Alabama, Georgia, LSU. He kind of saw that as a sinking ship there. If he is to determine that, the USC job is a very good job for him. Why USC over LSU? I don't know. Maybe he is a West Coast. Kind of, he likes the West Coast. Maybe Los Angeles is where he wants to be. The USC Trojans, and kids today have no clue how good they were. People my age have no clue how good they were. In the early to mid-2000s, it was a... To say a juggernaut would be disrespectful of a program. They were basically miniature NFL teams at times. They were so good. Kind of like what Bama is today. USC was the top of the mountain, and there's no reason why they can't be again. Now, the West Coast, to an extent, does some people, I'm sure, in those administration departments hate football. Has been like that for a bit. And you only know this because you hear kind of from the shadows people talking about it. But at USC, if he has buy-in, I think he could easily get USC to Oklahoma. And Lincoln Riley, there's the big argument that he was given the Oklahoma program, which he was, but to sustain it the way he did is quite impressive. And the tools of the trade he learned are quite impressive. USC, are they going to be a championship team next year? I don't know. Could you make me an argument that says they're the top? Did I say ACC? I meant Pac-12. Can you make me an argument that says they win the Pac-12 next year? Absolutely. There's no reason why they couldn't. Is it likely? Probably not. 2 years from now, though, I could definitely see them in a Pac-12 title game. And I could definitely see them in the playoff pretty soon. Because if he has the resources he wants there, who do you have to beat in the Pac-12? Almost did it again. What, are you going to beat UCLA with Chip Kelly? That sure sends a shiver down my spine. You're going to beat Oregon State? Are you going to beat Utah? Very good Utah team, by the way. There's no reason why you can't recruit at a top 5 level at USC. Now, I know a lot of people are coming to the California pie to get, you know, 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars. To get all the mega stars you can find. That, you know, recruiting piece of the California pie to get those high-starred caliber players is quite tough to get sometimes. But at USC, there's no reason why you can't recruit at a top 5 level. Your big challenge is Oregon. And if Oregon's the scariest thing you got, I think there's bigger demons elsewhere. Oregon does have Nike money, but Nike money can't stop a steamroller. Unless there's a lot of it and you can get bigger steamrollers up there, but there's no reason why any kid sitting in Southern California should want to go to Oregon over USC. if you can recruit them properly. There's no reason. You have every built-in advantage at USC. Use it. When USC is the biggest team in Los Angeles, like they were, they've never really, I guess, from what I've researched, if you're from the area, you know better than me, they've never probably been bigger than the Lakers. Probably never been bigger than when the Dodgers have been good. There's no reason why you can't easily be the third biggest team in that city. Even number two. There's no reason. I mean, it's definitely not the Rams or Chargers. All right, let's continue. Brian Kelly to LSU is quite the weird situation. Earlier we had the Cincinnati equation. We're going to call this the Brian Kelly risk. The Brian Kelly risk is that he's giving up something he knows he has at Notre Dame. And he's taking a big gamble. Okay, let me explain this as best I can. And we won't use turtle racing again. Let's use, for fun. Okay, when I was a kid, I used to sit in a gym and I used to see someone like twirl a basketball on his finger. And then he twirl it on like one of those big pointers. And he used to go higher and higher and higher and higher till the ball almost hit the ceiling. What I'm trying to say is, you can do that trick. You know, the cool ball trick, spinning the basketball on the pointer. You can only go so high at Notre Dame. There seems to be almost like a ceiling that stops that ball from going even higher. Maybe Notre Dame is like a gym. And LSU is kind of like a baseball diamond where you can just keep going higher, higher, higher. Because maybe there truly is no ceiling. The problem with Notre Dame is that you can't get every player you want to get. Due to academic requirements and also administration issues. At Notre Dame, from what I understand, and this is from hearing from insiders in the business, sometimes at Notre Dame, there's certain things they don't like, certain things they like, and you can't always get the resources you want. Understandable. Brian Kelly down at LSU, maybe he's going to a baseball diamond. He can do that trick he was doing at Notre Dame, just he can go way, way, way higher. Because he should have, you know, he's had two very good chances to win a national championship, and he blew both ones. Now, you can argue 2012 he had no chance, but I thought he had a chance. At least when I was sitting on that couch, I did. So, oh, goodness, that's embarrassing. I don't know why I drank that apple juice, now I'm all, ugh, I'm feeling kind of sick. Oh, I should cut that out. Ah, that's a lot of work. I don't feel like cutting that out. Let's just keep rolling. We're going to keep it in. Keep this podcast genuine. Huh. So, I guess where do we go from there? LSU? How much better is Brian Kelly than Ed Orgeron? I mean, if history says anything, he's definitely better long-term than he is short-term. So, I think this is quite an interesting opportunity. How will he recruit down there? Probably very well, but he's always been kind of a North to Midwest kind of guy. It's going to be interesting to see what it's like him going down south. Next job that was filled was, oh goodness, I'm drawing a bit of a blank here. Let me pause. So Billy Napier to Florida is, I don't know if it's really a gamble, because Billy Napier seems to be a pretty sure thing. He seems to be a very good recruiter. I don't know his X's and O's, but he seems to be a good recruiter. He's worked under Nick Saban, and from what I understand, he's also worked under Dabo for a period of time. So he's been with some of the greats. I think the question is, how is he going to translate from a small program like Louisiana, Lafayette, to a University of Florida, which is a big jump, a lot of new responsibilities administration-wise, a very big pond of talent, but where everyone comes to that pond to get that talent. How, like, Alabama, Clemson have owned Florida. Heck, some other teams can come into Florida and get talent from Florida. And if, I don't know if it's official yet, if Brett Venables, okay, no, sorry, not Brett Venables. If it's true that Mario Cristobal is leaving Oregon, which there's rumors, I'm not sure if it's confirmed at this time, if he is in fact leaving for the U, good luck. That's going to be tough to lock down, especially for a guy like Billy Napier, who's never had a head coaching job at an SEC school. That's going to be a tough challenge. And I mean, let's talk about when it did work. You had a guy named Urban Meyer come down from Utah. If I showed half of the Canadians an American map with all the states, I think maybe, sorry, let's try that scenario again. If I showed most Canadians a picture of the United States and said, find me Utah, most of them couldn't find it. In fact, most of them probably don't even know it's a state, but I digress. He came down from Utah, went to Florida, did amazing. So this has happened before, and it's worked before. And you can say Urban Meyer maybe at some points failed, but you can't disagree. He won a lot of games and was great for your program. Maybe not great in every aspect, but he was great for your program when he was winning there. So I don't know. Billy Napier to Florida is definitely intriguing. I hope he gets the time he needs, because you can't just expect him to get results right away. Kind of like South Carolina with Shane Beamer, and I'm not comparing the two jobs, but Shane Beamer's not a guy who can just come in and win you 9 games. You need to let him build a little bit, especially with a first-time coach. Now, in 5 years of Billy Napier, let's say he's kind of still floundering at the 6-7 win mark, which isn't acceptable at Florida, then he's obviously going to get cut. But right now, I think you should have a little bit of optimism, especially on the recruiting end. But if this Mario Cristobal thing is true, that's a dagger in recruiting. That's tough. That's going to be a great state. That's going to be a tough state to recruit in. Marcus Freeman gets the Notre Dame job, which I think is really good. He got a guy kind of in-house who knows the system, knows the Notre Dame brand. Seems to be a very nice guy. He's also keeping Tommy Rees as his OC, which is great because Tommy Rees seems to be learning a lot and getting very good. I think Marcus Freeman, that's a very cool experiment, and I think it's going to work out and might be a few years too soon than what people wanted, but next year he goes 10-2, 11-1. You're not going to hear anyone complaining. Now, in 3 years, if he's going 10-2, you probably will get some Notre Dame people complaining because, for some reason, if you're not undefeated there, you're bad. I think that's all the news I want to talk about. I'm going to probably do some bowl game predictions soon, but today, I think we're just going to stop there. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the video, and not video, it's a damn podcast. I'm tired. Take care. You just listened to Benchwarmers Club Sports and Entertainment Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen again. Until then, God bless, praise Christ, and thank you for listening to the show.